Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Born to Talk radio show. My guest today is Eden Garcia Bayless. She's a licensed marriage family therapist, and she is the CEO of the Airport Marina Counseling Service. Welcome to the show, Eden.
Thank you, Marcia. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited for you to be here, and I'm particularly I know a lot about the Airport Marina Counseling Service. I am so delighted to be able to feature you. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I've always been attracted to the helping professions. In college, I majored in psychology and minored in criminal justice. And when I graduated, I became a case manager. And basically, that is someone who provides resources and support. And I was doing it for those that were exiting the juvenile justice system. So part of the requirements at the time were that they needed to do counseling, family therapy. These were all minors. And the feedback I was getting from these families was that services were very, very expensive. They were very hard to come by. And there was a lack of Spanish-speaking therapists. And I thought, well, geez, you know, what can I do about that? I'm Spanish speaking. I have always lived to help, and I decided to go back to school to get my master's in counseling, and then eventually became licensed as a marriage and family therapist. And community mental health has always been a passion of mine, because in my core values and beliefs, I really believe that people deserve quality mental health care regardless of their income. And I really appreciate organizations, social service organizations, community mental health clinics that do that for others. So I was at a mental health clinic and realized, you know what? If I go into management, I can ensure that not just me provide quality mental health services, but a whole organization provides quality mental health services. So then that became my journey toward becoming a supervisor, and then the clinical coordinator, clinical director, and eventually the CEO.
Wow, that's terrific. Where did you go to college?
I went to Cal Poly Pomona and then to the University of Laverne for my graduate education.
Terrific. Well, so I'm curious, why did you choose to work at the Airport Marina Counseling Service?
Oh, I love Airport Marina. So the other organization I was with, they were merging with somebody else. And the writing was on the wall. They already had an executive director. And I knew it was a matter of time before they were going to come to me and tell me, you know, offer me a different kind of position. So I started to look around and saw this posting for Airport Marina Counseling Service. And the mission of AMCS is to provide affordable, accessible mental health services and provide quality training to therapists. And there it was, affordable, accessible mental health services in line with my core values and beliefs. I couldn't believe it. So I came to the interview. I was the one of two at the end, and I got the job, and I've been here for more than 12 years. And I say that Airport Marina is just a fabulous organization, and the community is amazing too. So I've been at my dream job, which is Airport Marina, for 12 years.
And we may end up saying AMCS throughout this conversation, because so many of us know about that, and it's in the community that I live in, and I'm very familiar with the Airport Marina Counseling Service, or AMCS. So I'm just curious, what's a typical day like for you as the CEO of a mental health organization?
Well, every day is different.
And I was going to say, it's not typical, right?
And I love it. When I was a therapist, it was, you know, day in and day out seeing clients. And just every day is different, which I really, really enjoy. One day I'll be assisting our development director in writing a grant or looking for an event space or setting fundraising goals. Another day I'll be giving a presentation in the community. Another day of the week will be spent on budgeting or brainstorming with the clinical director about new programming. It's great. There's never a dull moment. I mean, sure, there's a lot of responsibility, but it's just a lot of fun.
Well, that's you know, if you can get up in the morning and go to a position, a job, whatever you want to call it, that brings you satisfaction. Like I just put my right hand over my heart when I said that. When you know you're in the right location and you've been there for 12 years, that really says a lot about the organization, but it also says a lot about you. And I think that really says a lot. And I just think that, a typical day for you might be some weeks are like this and some weeks. I think I read something on the internet today that you're having some kind of an event today. Did I misread that somewhere?
We not today, but we definitely have all kinds of events here at Airport Marina, and we try to participate in events throughout the community as well. We were just at the Senior Day at the Westchester Senior Center. I believe it was called Wellness Day, where we had a booth, and we love to share the services that we offer to the world. At the Women's Center, they had different speakers, and it's just wonderful for us to share with the community what we can offer at low cost.
Absolutely. I think it would be interesting for those people that don't live anywhere near here and have never heard of AMCS to talk about the history of this organization because I think it's very, very interesting. So please tell us about the history of AMCS.
Sure. So the clinic has been around for 65 years. This is actually our 65th anniversary, and we're having a big Spring into Well-Being celebration in just to honor the fact that AMCS has been helping people for so many years. But the story goes, Mary Ellen Kasman is one of our founding members, and you probably know her since she's just a
I do.
mover. Yes, and a shaker. She's no longer with us, but mover and the shaker in the community. So the story goes that Mary Ellen was at the local high school at a parent meeting, and she met another parent who told her that after the meeting they were going to take the bus to a mental health clinic for some parenting classes. And Mary Ellen, being just the giving person that she is, said, "The bus, the heck with that, I'll take you. I will drive you there." It turns out that it was a 30-minute drive to, this organization where this woman was gonna take her parenting classes. And Mary Ellen said, this is the closest mental health clinic to Westchester?" And the woman said, "Yes, there's nothing nearby." Mary Ellen came home, spoke to her husband Bud, who is an attorney, and said, "We have to do something about this. I cannot believe that there aren't any mental health services in the community. This poor woman was going to take the bus 30 minutes away, and bus probably would have taken her, an hour." And she said, "We got to do something about this, Bud. Let's see what we can do." She had a very good friend, Dr. Ronald Markman, who was a psychiatrist, and she talked to him about starting a mental health clinic. And she had Sue Henderson, a licensed marriage and family, actually, I believe she's a clinical social worker, and said, "Hey, did you know that we don't have a mental health organization in the community? Let's start one." So Bud actually started to draft the articles of incorporation, did all of the necessary paperwork. Mary Ellen visited other organizations, other mental health clinics that weren't nearby, but to see how they sustained themselves, what programming was like, what it would take to ensure that the clinic was sustainable. And they came up with this model of becoming a practicum site. So Airport Marina is a practicum site for therapists that are earning their advanced degree in psychology. And those students volunteer their time in exchange for training. So that's how we're able to provide the low-cost services. If we had to pay our therapists, right now we have anywhere between 40 and 60 therapists training with us at any given time. If we had to pay them, we'd have a handful of therapists only, which would really impact, the number of people that we see and the services that we provide the community. So over the years, what started off with a social worker and a psychiatrist has really blossomed into this amazing organization that trains 50 to 60 therapists a year. It's quite
That's
remarkable.
great. It, you know, When people hear the word Westchester, depending upon what part of the country they live in, we're not talking about Westchester, New York.
Right.
Westchester is a community within the city of Los Angeles, where I have lived almost my entire life. And I went to school with their son, Ken Kastman.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yes, because that's how it works in a small community. And, you know, you even know yourself that there's a beautiful mural painted in our community of Mary Ellen.
Yes.
She was a remarkable woman, and Bud was a great partner. And I'm so honored to be able to share what she started, and the fact that you are there, I think is just phenomenal. And I didn't realize
Thank you,
it was
Martha.
65 years.
Yes.
Gosh, I didn't realize it was that long, but I guess that makes sense.
Yes.
And no, Mary Ellen and Bud are no longer with us, but their participation in this community lives on. That's for certain.
That's for certain. And, you know, their children are still involved with their Port Marina. They attend our big gala. They donate regularly. It's really great to see that, you know, the legacy of the Kastmans,
yes,
and how
Absolutely.
Their children continue the legacy of giving, of being so community oriented.
I love that. So let's talk about the services. What services do you guys provide?
We provide a myriad of services. Our core services include individual therapy. So we see people individually, either in person or through telehealth. We see families. We see couples. We provide group therapy as well. In 2016, we started an LGBTQIA affirmative therapy center because there wasn't any clinic near Westchester that offered these specialized services to those in need. And then when we see a need in the community, we spring into action and see what we can offer. So for example, when during the LA fires, we said, what can we do? You know, we're not in the Palisades, we're not in Altadena. But guess what? We talked about the fact that we could offer virtual services. And our board of directors is so amazing. I said, what if we offer services? Let's figure this out. What can we offer? These people are going to need support. And they said, yes, let's offer free services, even though we didn't have the funding for it. We went into our reserves and were able to offer the services that way. I was talking to someone at the senior center, and they said, we have this wonderful programming at the senior center, but we don't have any mental health services. I said, wait a minute. Well, we can help with that. And we are now offering a free group at the senior center. So if we see a need, we really try to fill it and see, you know, how we can support our community.
I love that. That's really, I didn't know that. I'm learning so much, and I so appreciate that. So tell me about the type of people that you see at AMCS.
We are able to see all kinds of people, different ages and populations. We start at age 5, and at 5 years old, that's really family therapy. We really do an assessment first, especially with kids, to determine what is the best mode of treatment. And with children, you know, almost 100% of the time, it is with the family. Children, as you know, aren't self-sustaining. They don't live on their own. It is really the family that needs to come together to assist with whatever's going on and develop a plan, you know, for this young person. So we see children and their families. We also see youth, and then with youth as well, it depends on the age and where they are. We see college students who are trying to figure out their life path. We see adults dealing with life transitions. We see seniors trying to connect with other seniors. So, you know, we service all. Currently, we have a new program where we're offering free services to transitional age youth, and we got a grant from Cedars-Sinai to do that. Transitional age youth are those that have aged out of the foster system, and historically, as soon as they age out of the foster system, all support stops. And we know that that's no good. I mean, Who doesn't need support, even if you're not in the foster care system? I mean, just because you're 18 doesn't mean that you're self-sustaining and, are ready to go out into the world. So it's wonderful to see that things are changing and that here at AMCS we can offer mental health services to those young people.
I was thinking back to a million years ago when my kids were in school here in Westchester, and I was that PTA lady. And if there was a kid that sort of seemed like they had a problem, and they were like sent to the office to talk to the nurse or something like that, did they ever refer children to you guys that way or no?
Yes,
I
yes.
That's what I thought. That was so long ago, but I thought that might have been the case.
Yes, you're right. So, way back in the days, all schools had a counselor, which was
Right.
amazing. And then budget cuts came into play, and now many schools have one counselor that services a multiple schools. So, different mental health clinics will contract with the schools and provide services there. So we have been at different school sites where we do offer services on site for free, or where folks can come to the clinic to provide the services. And at the schools, we get referrals through the principal or the counselor or the teachers or even the parents themselves that come to the school and say, my son really needs help, or I'm seeing this kind of behavior and I don't know what to do. So at AMCS, we are all about reducing barriers and meeting the child and the family where they are. So if that means going to the school, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, I that thank you for reminding me, because I really did think that was something that was in place. When we think about people that are in need, what are some of the reasons people seek services at AMCS?
We see people dealing with a variety of different things. So it could be something like grief and loss. The death of a loved one, a couple wanting to stay together but having difficulty communicating or not really feeling like they're on the same page as it relates to finances or raising children. We also see kids at school who are dealing with, stressors, college stress or anger management, depression, social skills building. And it doesn't have to be an issue. Sometimes I think that's the other thing is that people believe you should only seek therapy when there's a problem. And sometimes we see folks that just want more insight. They want to be more insightful, or they can't figure out what's wrong, but they know that they need to talk to somebody. And that's a great thing about therapy is that when you're talking to somebody else who is not connected to you in terms of like a friend or a family member, that person, the therapist, is able to be objective and able to look from the outside in. And Marsha, I'm sure you've had this where you had a friend and you're mad at someone, you're contemplating breaking up with your boyfriend, and your friend says, "Yeah, forget him," right? A therapist might say, "Okay, well, let's talk about the pros and cons, or let's talk about what attracted you to that person in the first place." There's a lot more introspection. There's a lot more digging to get to kind of the root of the question or why you want to make this kind of a decision. It's really great. We also see, though, a lot of anxiety and depression. Did you know that anxiety and depression are the most common mental health issues in the country?
I did not know that. Wow.
Yes. And
Wow.
anxiety, yeah, I mean, I bet you know a person or two dealing with anxiety or depression. I know I
I am.
do.
I am. I'm an
You?
example. I am dealing with anxiety. I am an anxious person, and people that know me probably know that about me. And it is something you need to deal with, and I am
Yes.
dealing with it. And it's funny about the word anxious. Because to me, words mean a lot to me. And anxious could be, oh my God, I can hardly wait to go to the game today. That's an exciting anxious. As opposed
Yes.
to, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do that. That's a
Right.
different kind of anxious. anxious. And
Right.
I think it's important to recognize that, you know, we all have different lifestyles. And depending upon your personal lifestyle, I mean, I've been a widow for 17 years. We all have different lifestyles, and this really isn't about me, so I don't want to go off to that area. But I think that when you have services like the AMCS has to offer, I think it's so important, and sometimes people are afraid, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
They're afraid to, like, oh, I can't talk to somebody about that.
Yes. That call, making the first call, I can't tell you how many clients will tell me, oh my God, I was so scared making the call to Airport Marina. I wasn't sure. And I just thought, oh gosh, if they judge me, I'm going to hang up. And it's not about judgment at all. We're not here to judge at all. We're here to help and support. That's it. And help the folks that call. And I would say that the hardest thing is picking up the phone. And then there's that stigma. Marcia, we hear all that. Why, you know, should I? What if people find out I'm in therapy? And I see that that's slowly changing, the stigma around mental health. But it's still out there, especially for older folks. They have a really hard time admitting that they're in therapy or even admitting that they need help.
Right. And you're open 6 days a week. I mean, 7 days a week. Is that right or wrong?
Yes, you are right. We are open 7 days a week. So we are.
Right. So if somebody has a 40-hour job, whatever, a week, and they're just like, well, how am I supposed to go there? There's weekend availability as well.
Yes. So as I said about reducing barriers, Airport Marina is all about reducing barriers. And that's why we're open 7 days a week. 4 days out of the week, we're open from 9 to 9 so that those folks who work long hours or have two jobs can figure out a time that works for them to come to the clinic. Or if it's the weekends, you know, that's why we're open. If they work regular week hours, they can come to the clinic on the weekends. And we offer virtual. So for us, the silver lining during the pandemic was virtual services. Virtual services was not on our radar at all before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when things started to close, we quickly realized that we needed to figure out a different way to provide the services, that we were people still needed therapy. And how are we going to provide those services? So we quickly looked into different platforms and found one that was able to work and that was HIPAA compliant. And we started to provide services virtually. And I'm proud to report that we did not close at all, that our clients didn't miss a single week of therapy.
That's and it was wonderful.
Yes.
Is that what you're calling telehealth? Is that what
yes.
that is?
That's what that is. Right, telehealth
is. You have an exceptional website, and I'll make sure that people know how that they can see that, because
Thank you
do
Marcia.
Talk about that. And I think that this is really an important question that maybe a lot of people wonder about, and that is, what's the difference between anxiety and stress?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because they are very closely related, but they're not the same thing. And the key difference is really the cause, the duration, and how they show up. So for stress, for example, you know, what's the cause? The cause has to be an external trigger. It could be an exam that's coming up or a work deadline. The symptoms can be, oh my God, you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, you're tense, you're having difficulty sleeping. And then the duration is short term. So as soon as that test is over, you're like, woo, you feel relief. You're actually, you know you came out the other side. And I hope that you're celebrating that you did it. But there is a clear, okay, this is done. With anxiety, there's really no obvious problem. But you feel nervous. You wake up feeling nervous. Or, you know, you wake up with this rapid heartbeat. Or you can't sleep, but you don't know why. That's anxiety. And there's no just specific situation that, you know, that you can link to it. So those are the main differences. Stress, a response to a situation, and anxiety is an ongoing feeling of worry or fear.
Okay, so the fear sits on the anxiety side, not the stress side.
Right. That's right, Marcia.
Okay, that's very interesting. So I know there has to be some coping skills. So tell us about some of the coping skills. Maybe somebody's listening to this and going, gosh, I can really relate to what these ladies are saying. So tell us about some coping skills when people are dealing with stress or anxiety. Let's talk about both of them.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, because both can be, these coping strategies can be applied to both. And a key one is to control your breathing, right? Because sometimes we start hyperventilating without even noticing it. All of a sudden we're breathing, you know, really hard, and we have all these excessive thoughts, and we let our mind race, and, you know, there we go into this downward spiral. The first thing is to control your breathing. And there's a variety of different ways to do that. You know, a simple one is to inhale for 4 seconds. Hold it for 4 seconds, and then exhale slowly for 6 seconds. And this will help you to relax. This will help you to stay grounded. Another one is to challenge your anxious thoughts. So, you know, I talked about that rabbit hole, and we all do this. Oh my God, I'm going to fail the test, right? I'm going to not just fail the test, but I'm going to fail this class. And then it's, okay, wait a minute. Let me step back. Is this 100% true? Am I really going to fail the class? Am I really going to fail the test? Well, I've been studying every day, and I haven't failed the test yet. So what's the likelihood of me failing this test? Low. Okay, it's low. So, you know, it's having those kind of conversations with yourself. And grounding is really, really, really important. And this is one of my favorites, the 5-4-3-2-1. Have you ever heard about this, Marcia?
I have not heard of that. I've okay. heard of the square breathing. I mean, I yes. know about that, but yes. I've never heard about grounding 5-4-3-2-1. I'd love to know what that's about.
And that's all about using your senses, which I love. So it could be, tell me 5 things that you see. So this really changes where your mind, where your head is at. Instead of becoming emotional, now you're doing something. So what are 5 things that you see? It could be, you know, your computer screen. I see my calendar. I see my bag of cookies, and I see my, you know, so you just see the 5 things. What are 4 things that you can feel? This really helps you get into your body. I feel my feet touching, you know, my shoes, my hands are touching. So you have 4 things that you feel. What are 3 things that you hear? I can hear my sound machine going. I can hear, you know, so it's 3 things. What are 2 things that you can smell? And what's 1 thing that you can taste? So it really gets you into it, pulls your mind out of the worry and back into the moment. So that's wow. a really fun one that I've used for myself. I've also used it with my kids. And even when I was a therapist, when I could see somebody beginning to spiral in my office, it is great. And then moving your body is a great one, right? I know that you walk, and that's a great way to reduce anxiety and boost mood. Exercise is great, but if exercise isn't your thing, it can be a walk. It can be, you know, some mindfulness, but it is really moving your body and getting out. It's important to see, to get out at least every day for 5 minutes. See that sun, you know, feel the wind in your hair. That's important. And watch stimulants. So are you drinking too much caffeine, right? That's not going to help your anxiety any. Energy drinks, soda, not good if you're anxious. Creating a structure too. So, you know, we talked about failing the test. Okay, well, let me create some structure where I'm going to study for 30 minutes every day, so I'm not overwhelmed or trying to cram everything at the end of the day. And I'm going to sleep at a decent hour. So I'm going to sleep at whatever time that is, 9:30, and you have it all set up. Creating some structure also helps people feel contained and feel like they can, you know, they have a hold on things and can manage them. And then talking to somebody is so key, because that kind of really takes the air, you know, out of the problem, the air out of the balloon. So a family member or a friend is important. But there's therapy, right? AMCS is here to help. If it just feels like you're not getting what you need out of your friends or you're embarrassed, I hear that too. I didn't want to talk to you. That's fine. We can help you deal with anxiety. And there's all kinds of great relaxation tools too. There's some apps called Headspace or Calm. You know, journaling is great, calming music, meditation. I mean, there's a lot that people can do besides seeing a therapist that can reduce anxiety and stress symptoms.
You know, it's interesting because of where we are in technology today, which is obviously it just keeps getting more and more and more. I have a fabulous app. I do yoga, which is very good. I know about four square breathing and those kinds of things. But there's an app called Insight Timer.
Oh, I am.
Do you have that too?
No, tell me about it. Tell us about it.
I think it costs maybe $60 or something for the year to subscribe to this. I don't even remember this now because I've had it for quite some time. But it's a meditation app, and you can set your intentions for the day. You can do a morning meditation, which I do every morning. You can do an evening meditation. Some of them are 3 minutes. Some of them are 5 minutes. Some of them are even much longer. I don't want to do the long ones, but I haven't missed doing it for...
That's great, Marcia.
...for a very, very long time. I think like 500 days.
Wow.
So it's you know, I like habits, and that is a habit. That's how I start my day. It lets me set my intention for the day.
Yes.
It's a great way for Marcia to focus, because the cat is not going to give me those suggestions.
Right.
She's looking at me like, well, if you stop petting me or if you start petting me.
Right.
But, you know, I think that whatever tools we can put in our belt, I think, are important. And I think that a meditation is one of those things that can be very helpful. And you mentioned exercise and diet, all of things. Those things do, I would agree, play a part in reducing that stress or that anxiety.
Right. And I know slewed off, you know, I rattled off a bunch of different things, but that's because something has to resonate with you, right? Not everybody will like the meditation, but they may like the creating more structure or challenging thoughts. We're all different. And what I love is that there is a variety of different ways to cope, and it needs to resonate. Like you, I love meditation. I think it's great. And also like you, I like short, really short, you know, to just kind of center me, get me ready for the day in a positive way. Yeah, and feel positive about it.
But I think what you said just before this, which was something I had never heard before, and I just want to make sure I'm clear about that. And you talked about grounding, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And they are, number 5 was set. Okay, so I'm trying to read my own notes.
Yes, so, and they can be, it's all about the senses, and they don't have, like, for the first one, it's what do you see? 5 things you see.
If
you prefer to do 5 things you smell, you know, they don't have to be in this order. The point is that you have to hit all of your senses. So it's seeing, feeling, what do you feel, hear.
What do you hear?
Smell. And taste.
I think I've never heard that before. And I think that's really, I think people can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even if you don't feel that you need to be in therapy, but maybe you have a family member or you just whatever, you know, I've never heard that before. And I really appreciate hearing that. So we've talked about stress or anxiety, but what are some of the signs that you have found in your work that are signs of depression? Because I'm assuming that's different from stress or anxiety.
It's different from stress or anxiety, but there are actually a few symptoms that overlap. And those are restlessness, right? That can be anxiety or depression. Trouble thinking or concentrating can be anxiety or depression. Excessive worry can also be depression. Many people just associate it with anxiety, but that can also be a sign of depression. Agitation. 2 can be either one. And unexplained physical complaints. So I always say, if you're not talking about your feelings, they're going to come out one way or another. So if you're not using your voice, you're going to get headaches, you're going to get stomach aches, something's going to happen. So that's the other one. But other signs for depression include just sad mood. You have difficulty getting out of bed. You don't want to brush your teeth or take a shower. You know, that feeling hopeless, feeling worthless. You're just really, really tired. You can't sleep. You don't want to do things that you used to do. You used to like to go out and walk and ride your bike, and you don't feel like doing that anymore. And you're just not hungry, or you're the opposite. You're just eating just to eat. So these are all signs of depression. And, you know, we all get a low mood, or I know I've gotten in a low mood once in a while, and it's okay to have one or two symptoms once in a while. The trick and the key is when you have many symptoms and the duration, right? We all have an off day here and there. But if it's lasting for weeks, months, that's a sign that you can be, you know, kind of in a major depressive episode, or that there's a problem. So it's really important to look at those signs and then to kind of see, well, what is it exactly that I'm going through? Is it depression? Is it just stress? Is it anxiety? Because as I said, some of them overlap, and to kind of take a look at what's going on and then what you can do about it.
Right. That's true. I think that's important. Do you know, and I don't have these notes in front of me, in anxiety, you know about the word SMART, S-M-A-R-T?
No, Marcia.
That each word stands for something, like specific, measurable. Have you heard of that before?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember what they all stand for?
No, I can't remember.
Oh, shoot. I had that written somewhere. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll just, let's see. I don't have it memorized, but I know it's specific, it's measurable.
That reminds me of the grounding of the fight, because it does get you in a different headspace.
Right. Is that what grounding does as well?
Yes.
Okay. When we think about depression, what can people do to try and lift that depression? What can they do?
Sure. So what can people do? And we talked about exercise. This is another one, just a little walk, get yourself outside. It's really important to lift depression. You know, there are studies about the sun and the importance of just getting outside. So moving your body, right? Even if it's a short walk. Sleep routine. It's really easy to get off your regular routine if you're not doing something regularly, if you don't have a job to go to every morning, or, you know, school. But it's important to establish a sleep and wake routine that's the same daily, that you are, so that you're not in bed all day. Okay, I'm going to go to bed at 10 and I'm going to wake up at 8, and that you really force yourself to get up. Eating regularly, not skipping meals, because that can worsen the mood or fatigue. So it's really important to ensure that you're eating regularly. Staying connected with others. So while it may be hard, you may feel like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody. Pick up the phone, or don't shut others out. If someone wants to come visit you, if someone is texting you, text back. These little things will help in the long run. And breaking things down into small steps. What can you do for 5 minutes, right? Okay, forget the 30. What can you do for 5? Can you go for a walk just for 5 minutes? Can you clean, you know, the kitchen just for 5 minutes? Can you jump in the shower just for 5 minutes? So, you know, setting some really, really small goals. And then journaling is so good for both anxiety and depression. Yeah, it's great. Music, right? Music can be so powerful. The power of music, both, you know, positive and negative, if it's something that's not, you know, that it just doesn't help your mood. So it's important for people to know what works for them. But calming music is so great. Or also, you know, I like to use music to pump me up. When I have something, you know, to use that, it can totally help, you know, release those endorphins too. So music is great as well. And finally seeking help. You know, if it just seems like nothing's helping, if it feels like things are getting worse, then it's time to seek help from a mental health professional like us at Airport Marina.
You know, because we have all of these devices today where we can find anything at any given moment, of course I Googled this. So now I can tell you what SMART stands for.
All right,
it stands
let's hear it.
For specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Had you ever heard of that before?
Yes. Yeah, I love this. I think this is a great way to set goals.
Absolutely.
Realistic. Yeah, they seem to.
I think it's really an interesting concept that I personally had never heard of before.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
So back to you now. How does AMCS obtain funding to sustain all your low-cost services?
Yes. So we don't have contracts with the Department of Public Health or the state or anything like that. So AMCS relies heavily on fundraising, on donations, on grant writing, and client fees. Client fees are in a huge revenue stream because they're all at low cost and people pay what they can afford. And we're not about increasing prices, right? We're not a store where we need more money. Let's just increase the goods that we're selling. For us, it's the opposite. We want to maintain the low cost. So that's why the grants are so important. That's why donations are so important. And our biggest fundraiser of the year, the Spring Into Wellbeing Celebration, which we have once a year, that's scheduled for May 14th this year, a Thursday at the Marriott. It is a classic live auction with a silent auction dinner and an honoree. And this year, because it's our 65th year anniversary, we are bringing back all former honorees. So it should be
neat.
A really fun time. Yes.
But I'm sure you're not going to tell anybody who you're recognizing for this year.
Well, it's everybody that we've recognized before. So it is Polly Garska. It
yep.
is the Kasmans. Kathy Aikenhead with the Hannon Foundation. Of course, the Drawlingers, who are amazing. We even honored Howard at one point, but Karen. So, you know, Lance Lipscomb, do you know him?
I know the name, uh-huh.
Okay. He was the president here at Airport Marina for a while and big at the chamber. He has since moved out of state, but he's coming. He's coming for the event. We've honored Justin Urbacci, who was the former CEO of LAWA, and he's no longer in California either, and he's trying to make it. So it's just really fun to see, yeah, people wanting to come back and, you know, feeling that it's so special that we are celebrating 65 years and that we're, you know, bringing everybody back.
That's phenomenal. So what does low-cost therapy actually mean?
So low-cost therapy means that people pay what they can afford. And at AMCS, we want to be equitable. So not everybody pays the same fee. So when someone begins their process here, we ask to see a pay stub or your income tax return. And based on the amount of money you make, then that will set your fee based on that. And I have to tell you that 75% of our clients pay $20 a session because they're making under $30,000 a year.
Whoa.
How can people live in California making under 30, right? I mean, let alone seeking services. You know, we hear a lot, oh, I can't afford it. And I say, well, yes, you can, because we'll work with you. You know, we will work with what you make and provide a service at a fee that you can afford. So it is great to be able to provide the low-cost therapy. I put that in perspective for you in terms of $20, because people will say, well, what is low cost? Is that $60 compared to the...
$120?
Right, the private sector, I mean, therapy is $175 plus.
Right.
So to receive services at $20 is just very, very, very economical.
That's wonderful. So Why don't you tell us a little bit about the other side of your mission and tell us about the training program at AMCS?
Yeah, so we provide quality training to therapists. That's the second part of our mission. And as I mentioned earlier, we are considered a practicum site. So the therapists are in school earning their advanced degree. Because the clinic has been around for 65 years, we have relationships with universities near and far. So local universities include LMU, Loyola, Mount St. Mary's, USC, UCLA. There are professional schools of psychology that we have affiliations with, including Antioch, the Professional School of Psychology, and a multitude of others. So it is just wonderful that we have partnered with so many universities and continue to partner with so many universities throughout the year. We interview applicants twice a year. We take a cohort in January and another cohort in August. And we take about a third of those that apply here. So it's a very rigorous interview where we ask specific questions about what their interests are, as well as do some role playing, and then a one-on-one interview with one of our supervisors. We are considered a rigorous training site, and we are considered top-notch because we really, really believe in providing as much training for our therapists as possible. So, for example, they all have to meet with a supervisor once a week. We also provide trainings in a variety of different topics four times a month. They also meet with different licensed professionals depending on the population that they're working with. So if they're running groups, they're meeting with a supervisor who specializes in running groups. If they're seeing families, they're meeting with a supervisor who specializes in seeing families, because group therapy, family therapy, individual therapy, couples, they're all very different. They look very different. What you do for individual is not what you can do for a couple. There's two people in there. Families, four and more, it's a whole different dynamic. So we pride ourselves on having supervisors that specialize in working with these different populations. The therapists usually contract with us for a year. So they're with us here for a year, and they love to try to see different populations to, you know, begin to develop and earn their craft. And when they leave us, they say, gosh, I feel really equipped now to start seeing even more clients on my own. So it's really nice to see their confidence grow from the beginning of from the inception of their practicum to the time that they leave. We recently now, what's called an associate is a therapist who's graduated, and we now are able to pay our associates. So we have a few therapists that are done with their schooling and that we have employed, and they want to continue with us. So that's really fun and exciting too.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Do you have psychiatrists there as well, or just therapists?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Marsha. I realized that I hadn't mentioned psychiatry yet. So we do have two psychiatrists on site that our clients are able to access. And we have a male and a female. And, you know, again, all about reducing barriers. We understand that some people feel more comfortable with one gender over the other. So we like to offer both and have our clients decide who they prefer to see. Our psychiatrists are just amazing. And psychiatry is double a client's fee. So if you're paying $20, you can see our psychiatrist for $40. Which is really, really unheard of. I mean, if therapy is going for $175, a psychiatric visit, 15-minute visit, is going for $300 plus. So it is really just, and I'm so proud of the fact that we offer psychiatry too. It is our most expensive program because they're medical doctors, right? But it is one that we really believe in. There was talk about, should we do away with psychiatry? And the staff and our board said, no, we need to figure out how we can continue this, because if this is just difficult to access for people regular folks, what about those that are low income? It's nearly impossible. So this is something that we need to continue, and I'm proud that we continue to provide.
And I understand that the other difference is that a psychiatrist, as you mentioned, is an MD, they can prescribe medication. A psychologist
yes.
cannot.
Correct. That's absolutely. Yes, so they do prescribe medication. They'll do an assessment and prescribe medication, and then they do a monitoring, right? So then they'll meet with you. They'll continue to meet with you regularly to ensure, is this the right dosage for you? Is this the right medication? Do we need to tweak something? Do we need to add something? Yes, and our psychiatrists are able to also see our therapists, not our therapists, but our clients virtually, which our just clients really, really love. It's great to be able to offer that service.
Isn't the technology today incredible? I mean, look what we're doing.
Right.
I mean, some people that do podcasting do it visually. I personally don't. But I just think that what we're able to do today and how we're able to communicate across the country, this brings such meaning personally.
Yes.
Personally, I've been doing this a long time, and I've always enjoyed the opportunity. It's not about me. Sometimes I can relate to the subjects, as I was talking about with you, but I think that I tell people, well, what's your podcast about? And I said, well, easier for me to tell you what it's not about. It's more about what is it that you can do that others can benefit from. And it's not an interview. It's a conversation. And I want it to be a conversation, because
yes.
I think that's what makes it more enjoyable to listen to, in my personal opinion.
You're right. I agree with you 100%.
So We really have a few more minutes, so we really do have a little bit of time. So what would you say are some of the takeaways that you'd like our listeners to know from listening to our conversation today?
That hope and healing is just a phone call away. I want to remind your audience that we offer individual, couples, family, group therapy, psychiatry, all at low cost. That we even have an LGBTQIA affirmative therapy center, which is dedicated to providing a safe and welcoming environment to the LGBT community, and that we can serve nearly anyone in California through virtual sessions. And I often get asked, well, how do we start? I mean, what do I need to do? Really simple. You just call the clinic and you schedule your initial consultation appointment. And that appointment, we can typically see you with that week or the following week. We don't have a wait list right now, and our turnaround time is about 2 weeks from phone call to therapist assignment. And you can do that initial consultation in person or virtually as well. So we are really, as I said, wanting to reduce barriers and ensure that our clients are able to access treatment from wherever they are.
That's so nice. And I will include all of that information in my blog. And we just have a couple of more minutes. And I know you weren't expecting me to ask you this, but I don't think it will be a difficult question for you to answer. And that is, how do you, Eden, balance your life between what you do professionally and what you do for you? What do you do to sort of keep yourself in balance when you're not working?
Yes. Well, like you, Marcia, I do like to set my day to do some meditation in the morning to put the energy out there for a positive, productive day. I have a calendar where I schedule everything, both work and personal. And I know I've heard that some people like to keep them separate, but to me, keeping them together so I can kind of see everything is important. I am married and have two boys and two dogs, and ensuring that I am there for them is just as important as my job. So on the weekends, I do like to disconnect and do something with my family, whether it's going to a movie or going to the park or just taking a nice walk and just chatting. It is just great. I do think that I have to walk the walk if I'm talking about how to cope with anxiety and depression, and you know that I do the same thing. And some of the techniques that have really kind of helped me when I become anxious is that the breathing, the grounding is my favorite, the challenging of those thoughts, you know, negative thoughts, positive self-talk is a big one for me. And surrounding myself with positive people, right? And this community is so amazing that I feel everybody supports one another, whether you know, everybody wants to support one another and wants to see one another succeed. And that's just an amazing thing. So I think also carving out time for me, for exercise, for my family is important. And I do that weekly in my calendar.
Do you journal?
I do. Say that. Do I journal?
Yep.
I don't. Nope.
You don't? Okay.
I don't.
That might feel like work.
What was that?
It might feel like you're working. It's like, oh gosh, I got to write down. I did this and I did that. You know, I mean, everybody has their own lifestyle. I tend to journal because I meet so many people every single day, whether it's based on maybe a hat I'm wearing or you're just walking and I'm walking and you've got a dog. And so, oh, what kind of dog is that? You know, I've never met a stranger, which is why podcasting has always been so important to me, because I definitely have people on my podcast that don't even live in California, so I've never met them. But I think that what I find is that if we really thought about it, we all have something we have in common.
Yes.
We really do. I really do. You believe that as well?
I believe that 100%. Oh yes.
Yeah. It could be sports for me. I mean, I'm a big sports fan. And I mean, you know, I feel like we're only going to walk along this planet for so long. And so why not make the best of it? And if you're having trouble, if you're having trouble coping with what that might be, maybe you have, your parents are ill, or you have an ill husband, or children or something, and you don't know how to solve that. You need help with that. That's
right.
Where people can turn to you and say, I need some help.
Yes.
I need some coping skills.
Yes.
And I just think that what you guys have been, and 35 years? Can you imagine? Mary Ellen could never have imagined that this would be going on like
65.
This.
65, sure. Right. No, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
Well, it is incredible, and I'm grateful that you were able to spend this time with me today, share what it is that you're doing. And those of you that do live in California and would like to take advantage of these offerings, please know that I will have that information available to you to read about, and you can get in touch with them. But if you don't live in California, many of you don't, look and see what's available in your communities. Where can you go to support yourself? Because maybe this podcast has given you the strength and the incentive to think, you know what, after listening to this podcast, I realize I need to get some help. And I have notes all over my office. One that I'm looking at right now says, be kind to yourself. You're okay.
It.
You know, and I think that whatever you need to do to support yourself, whether it's what you do or who you seek or your exercise, like you said, I just think all of those things are very important, because we only walk around this planet one time.
Right.
And why not have the best possibilities of appreciating, enjoying all that you do? And
right.
I've certainly enjoyed having this conversation with you.
Thank you, Marcia. Same here. I'm so glad, you know, we've been talking about doing this for some time, and I'm so glad that we finally got to do it. It's been a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much. And everybody, you know what you can do. If you need help, don't hesitate to get some. And I will let you all go as we end this 5th Monday of March. And before you know it, it will be April Fool's Day, right? Okay. I don't know why I said that. So, Have a lovely rest of your day, everybody. And thank you so much for always supporting me as the podcast host of the Born to Talk radio show. Bye for now, everyone.
Goodbye.